Good morning to you all, brothers and sisters in Christ. I trust by the grace of God, you are all doing well. On behalf of the leadership of this church, I want to warmly welcome all of you to today's service. It is our prayer that we all benefit from today's service. Just as Brother Opuni introduced to us, the month of September, as we all know, had always been a month for Christian Home. And for this particular month, we are looking at the team winning the battle for a healthy, Christ-centered home. Among the topics we are considering for today or this morning, we'll be talking about maintaining a healthy home, the role of forgiveness. There are several issues I may want to touch, but because of time, I just want you to know that we will move the rest of the points to Wednesday, Lord willing. So let's begin from the beginning. The first point I want us to look at is the formation of human relationship. If you carefully read the Bible, you will notice that mankind was created as a relational being. As we look in the Garden of Eden, we see that the relationship have two main dimensions. The first one is what I will call vertical relationship, which is man's relationship with God. And then horizontally, we can also talk about man's relationship with fellow human beings. And so when you look at the greatest commandment that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 22, 36 to 40, we read this. A lawyer came to Jesus and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered and said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Then verse 38 says, this is the greatest and the first commandment. Verse 39 says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
And so in
this passage, you see the two dimensions of relationship: our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow human being. What is important for us to note is that the two goes together. You can't do one and leave the other. You cannot say, I love God and you hate your neighbor. It's not possible. You cannot say, I want to worship God and love him, but I have problems with my husband or wife. And let me give you a passage for that. 1 John chapter 4, 20 and 21. It reads, if anyone says
I love God and hate his neighbor. He is a liar.
Se obika se odo nyankopon nenso watani nua o ye otrofo.
For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen.
Na de ontimi no ni nua ono otimidi nani hu no no. Ontimi no nyankopon a ono hu no.
Then verse 21 says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
So
I'm just trying to build a foundation for you. You can't sit here and be coming here every Sunday and say you love God and yet you have a problem with your spouse. It doesn't work. I can only give you one best description. It makes you a hypocrite. It makes you a hypocrite. So take note of that. Now, one area where human relationship manifests itself is that of marriage and the family.
Now, pe bia baakwa nipa asitem baakwa ayongofa edimu pa na se dan ho dia.
Interestingly, it is the first relationship created in the Garden of Eden. That was the first relationship. It's a marriage. And through our scriptures, we are admonished to let this relationship be right. The prophet Malachi, for example, informs us about God's concern about healthy marriage and family life.
Malachi etim ekayen se nyankopon eniku aware a edimu eho.
And I draw your attention to Malachi chapter 2, 13 through 16.
Malachi etim no yimu dumiensa ekosi edunsia no.
Let me do the reading to your hearing.
And this
have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears. With weeping. And with crying out. In so much that he regarded not the offering anymore. Or received it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Or why, if you want it? Because the Lord have been a witness between thee and the wife of your
youth.
Against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet, is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant?
And so on Anna Oye wo apam ere.
Then he continues, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit? And wherefore one? Why did he make you the two of us one? Why did it make it that way? That he might seek a godly seed.
Therefore,
take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates divorce or putting away.
If you say Rade, Yangopon, or say Uchi, our go.
Anytime I get to this passage and read this particular verse, the Lord hates divorce. What comes to my mind is we live in a society who hate the things God love and love the things God hates.
Maybe I may do a send the Bambi Timia says, see, I send any positive, and you man Yangopo don't eat tree. Now you man Yangopo, you know, Yedo.
He said, for one covered violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously about your wife of your youth. And so the first point I want you to understand is the formation of human relationship and how God made it. The second that I want us to look at is the deformation of human relationship as a result of man's fall and sin. Because of sin, as we even noted in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve, because of sin, our relationship is defined daily by hatred, conflict, vengeance, retaliation, and so on and so forth. Because of sin, we always want to have our pound of flesh. It will not surprise me that some couples may have had a serious fight before even coming here. But we thank God you were not punched. Relationship has become an endangered species that need to be saved. We worry ourselves so much and be working on the turtle at the riverside, at the sea to save them and forget about human relationship in terms of family. What is supposed to be the best loving and enjoyable relationship like marriage and family suffers bad fate all the time.
I will say,
but there is a third dimension I also want to draw attention. So the first one is the formation of human relationship. The second point is the deformation because of sin. The third I want to draw attention is the reformation of a healthy Christ-centered relationship.
And
sometimes I'll be speaking generally about relationship as a whole. So take note of that. If we look at the Reformation, we draw our attention to what Christ has said, to what the apostles have said about the importance of having a healthy relationship. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 3 talks about a healthy relationship in the church. And we are not going to read that. I will skip that. But the second one is important to me, Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3.
David,
that can apply to the church. It can also apply to family. It reads Psalm 133, 1 to 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, when they are together. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings for evermore. And so where there is a healthy relationship, God's blessing abounds there. Romans chapter 12, 17 to 19 says, repay no one evil for evil.
Roma fangoma eti dumienu imu dunson or say moon twitcha moho eka.
But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
And so yeah, dear etine, dear ye ewo nyango point is all.
If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all.
Then verse 19
says, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.
Brothers and
sisters, in spite of the need for a healthy, Christ-centered relationship, our world and our nation, our tribes and families and marriages suffers from conflict, suffers from vengeance, retaliation, hatred, ill feelings with serious damaging consequences.
And
I trace all this as a result of unforgiving spirit. Why do I say that? I say this because no matter how best we try to live together as couples, no matter how best we try to live together as families or friends, we will offend each
other.
That is the reality. It doesn't matter how perfect we think we are. We will certainly offend one another. No matter how you relate to people, there is always the potential of offense, hurt, and disappointment. As couples living together in such close proximity, we will step on our toes. We will offend one another. I like this Akan proverb. Let me say it in English this way. Threes that are closer to each other rob each other. Yes. It's a wonderful proverb. Dwea eben ene etwie. And sometimes etwie ni binye easy.
And sometimes some of the robbing can be very harsh.
Sometimes a chieni buawa ye biwie no na ohawro.
Objects that are close will always rub each other, but sometimes the robbing can be very harsh
as
and it can lead to
as we live in that close proximity.
Medodua ye te ifie baakum edan baakum kwa de.
If you ask me, it should be expected. We should not deceive ourselves. We are humans.
Me na da ye ho, eye den ye beba, enti mo ma ye hwe ni mo kwan.
And so the focus, therefore, is not the conflict. The conflict is not the issue at all. The focus must be managing the conflict when it surfaces. With true spiritual mindedness, we can even gain and make something positive from the conflict. Unfortunately, we allow them to destroy our relationship. Simply because carnality takes over, it takes control.
If you say,
so no matter what it is, we will have challenges in our relationship. This is because of our human frailty, our ego, self-centered desires, imperfections, immaturity, and carnality. We will definitely clash. James put it beautifully this way. He posed a question and then give us an answer to this effect.
Yakubu obusa asem na fe oyia no na ocheche mu kama kama pa.
James chapter 4, 1 and 2.
Yakubu 18:9 yimu ba
ko ni menu no. What causes quarrels and conflict?
Ede ne ede na ede ntokwa ene ntawanta
eba. And what causes fight among you?
Ade na ede ntokwa eba muntemu.
He said, is it not this?
Anyway,
that your passions are at war within you. You desire and do not have. So you murder, you covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask.
O say, say e honam dua yi ana etwe bibia yepe. Na enam say yentime nyanti no yedi ewu.
So our desires, our aspirations, our goals, what we want to achieve, these things come in between us and sometimes create a lot of problems for us.
Enti honam akono ene nyoma esi eni so e pese nya no. Ena etime twetwen na epiepian ema etime kofa ntawata.
So the need for forgiveness as a vital element for maintaining a healthy Christ-centered marriage and family life is very important.
Enti no bonifa free e ide ehuhia pa se pese yenya ebusua anase efia etiapo na Kristo edi hene ewo mu.
Unfortunately, we live in a world where some people even think that unforgiveness and vengeance are nothing but a kind of virtue to pursue.
Ebi owa, omujidi se, but ni awon fanche. Eni se mi ye bi etuaka na eyadi eye pa e wosi di echiri.
You read some psychological books, and they even talk about these things.
Turo bi awo kan ngoma e kasa efa yadwin se na yadwin esi eye adwuma fa ya na kan we.
Some of the books will even encourage you to vent your anger on your spouse. It's a virtue.
And when a woman be a bit much, say, my boom fool, yere, and I say, Ukuno, a idea, yeah, I was so dear.
It reminds me of watching a movie where the husband was so angry, and then he started telling the wife, I want to hit something.
Ain't it, Mistress Nibi? Ukuno, the boom fool, P, no, say, me person, Bobby B.
And the wife brought some metal and said, hit it.
Anna or Yenoko father, David Bayer, or said that they didn't any more, but I didn't
know. Not me.
And Yame,
you can't hit me.
Maybe they want
to. But if you want something to hit the metal, if you are a man, hit it.
So I bear man as a baby, but I didn't know.
So we always want to go that dimension. We want to fight. People are deemed to be weak and cowards if they forgive.
Say, Obi, Eddie Bonacha, you won't say one day, one repair.
You think you are weak. And in order not for you to be weak, you want to do the other one. So everybody will see you as you are strong.
And I'm saying one person could be who say what I'm ready to know. And I want to say what I'm saying. What they're wearing.
Meekness is misconstrued as weakness.
So be a joy. Now you should say what I'm ready.
The person is meek. That is even commended by Jesus Christ. Blessed are the meek. People think that when you are meek, you are weak.
Joy, idea, ye pa, Christo cry, a boy, a basso say, was say, ye nipa, ye draw. Nancy so arose and said, Nipa, you say, warm bread, so what draw.
And so you sit down and you think that you are being defeated. And so you want to move from meekness, you want to move from weakness to something else.
Ain't no chancia, no, say, ah, and go for a shamiso, ain't after the me free, the Musa, me and Rayano, and they are called baby fro.
So we need to forgive. We need to practice forgiveness. What I'm going to do with you this morning is to answer the question why we need to practice forgiveness for a healthy relationship. So I'll be raising the points. You can write as many as you can. But as I told you, I won't finish because of time. And we will move the rest and treat it, Lord willing, on Wednesday. So let's begin with the first point. And for me, that should always be on the top of the list. We need to practice forgiveness in our relationship because forgiveness makes us more godlike.
I was say you see us in the deep bonnet etch every say, say the bonnet char.
It makes us like God.
It
makes us like God, brothers. Of all the human qualities that make men in any sense like God, none is more divine than forgiveness. God is a God of forgiveness. And I thank God, if you sit here and name the name of Jesus Christ, assumption is that you know God. The assumption is that you have a relationship with Him. You are here because you know God. And you need to know what God loves and what God does for us. God is a God of forgiveness. Couple of passages to affirm that. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases? It continues with 8 to 12. And says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
Verse
12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I read to you Psalm 103, 2 to 3, and then 103, 8 to 12. In Exodus chapter 34, reading from verses 6 to 7. God identifies himself as a forgiving God. A God that forgives. Let me read to you. The Lord passed before him, that is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. That is who God is. He's identifying himself as such. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Solomon says, it is a man's glory to overlook transgression. It is a man's glory to overlook transgression. So man is never more like God than when he forgives. One of the stories that I want to draw your attention to that gives us a beautiful way as how God even forgives practically is in Luke chapter 15.
Look at it, do and I can't be a
We all know the story of the prodigal son. In that very story, we see how God forgives and what the heart of forgiveness is like. It is so willing. It doesn't even wait for the sinner to arrive. And when he
see
the sinner coming far away, he ran to meet him and embrace him and kiss him and forgive him. I want you to think through this seriously. When you have a problem with your spouse, when it comes at the door and knock, look at how reluctantly you feel like pinning. When people are chasing him, they will beat him there. Because here is a wife who is so angry that he will not even open the door. Here is a husband who is so annoyed with the wife that he will not open the door. He will not open the door for the wife to even come in. That is unlike God. It's unlike God. That is why I'm drawing your attention to this. Again, see how God forgives. When the prodigal son starts to say he is sorry, he hardly even listened to that. He doesn't even want him to finish the story. All he does is it's okay. Let's make peace and move on. I have forgiven you. This is the heart of forgiveness. The interest lies in the restoration of the relationship through love and forgiveness. That is what God is concerned about. And that is how God forgives. And that is how he wants us also to forgive. But he warns us of a danger that we always need to open our eyes on. And the danger is that not all people will appreciate and understand your act of forgiveness. Not all people will want to do that. For some people, they will wish that the unforgiveness will perpetuate even until the demise of the person. There are people who even enjoy and benefit from that estranged relationship. He comes to you and feeds you with wrong information and makes sure he widens the relationship and he enjoys something from you all the time. But that is not what God is at all. That's not what God is, brothers. It's important for us to understand what God can do to make sure that the relationship is better. Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your mother that you are not at peace with. It is possible some of us are here, we are not in talking terms with our parents. It's possible. And whether we are youth, it is possible we may not be talking to our parents. We are not at peace with them. Maybe it's your child, maybe your family member, maybe your boss or your business partner, or someone who took advantage on you, used you, and dumped you, and hurt you so much. God wants you to forgive. I want you to take note of the anger of the elder brother and his refusal to go in. That is the danger. Luke 15:28 says, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. The father came begging him, please come in. Your brother has come. That is the most important thing. But he will not.
Are
I want to quote something Dr. Samuel Chumasi Ankara said on this particular passage. When the elder brother started complaining to the father, he said something interesting. He said, "Father, ever since we have lived together, you have not even killed a small goat for me.
But
when this, your son, now it's no longer even a brother. It's not his brother. It is the father's son. When this, your son, came, you have killed this and you are making party for him to enjoy."
And
here comes the quote to mercy. He said, "Here is a brother who loved goat meat more than his brother."
And
he loved goat meat than his own brother. And that is how some of us even love to do. I have seen women that have been offended by their spouse, their husband, and they want empata, empata. GTP, one piece, full piece. That is what they are looking for. He loved crate of eggs more than the husband. And I've been telling people all the time, if you sew the cloth and you put it on, you walk in front of your husband. He knows the cloth. He bought it for them pata. And do you know what goes on through his mind when you are passing? That cloth is calling for slaps. It is calling for pushing you. It is calling for vengeance. It is calling for so many things. So, I want to tell believers today that empata is not necessary in marital relationship. Jesus have died for all.
Say what the money chum no I will be pion a smart baby. And the osof can say empata de a win yama Christo for Christo or pata ya bunny na
a chakaban where you are wearing muna or then am or shan to any din a dia afradi yemini. You couldn't forgive. Brothers, it's important for us to understand this. And I don't want to read the rest of the passage. But remember this. Our being forgiven will be based on our forgiveness granted to others. James chapter 2 verse 13 says, "There will be judgment without mercy for those who have not been merciful themselves." In the disciples' prayer, Jesus said this in Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven others." That is why we are here. That is why we come before you, God. We have already forgiven others. That is why we are here.
Yabaha say, if you say, yeah, they are for M from Achawan, and nothing about
14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses or transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgression."
Say, what the wound you are ebony and an from Echena, and now through a jansu de Becho. Say, one funny dear Anchena, who's a jansu and for what dear angel.
The same message is repeated in Matthew 18, 32 to 35. We don't have time to go there.
Matthew 18,
Matthew 18, 32 to 35. Now, I want to give you some three quotes. It will be projected. You may not be able to write it, but if you want it, you see them and they will show it to you. Three coats.
And send me a new beer can and ambassador Boso Emma Yeshanan. So, Ombechan were a fidian.
The first one is from Dr. James Thompson. Dr. James Thompson.
We be a friend of Dr. James Thompson. Say no kind.
Formerly of Abilene Christian University, he taught me at Heritage University College.
What shall my dear Elsia Pomo?
And this is what he said. Quote.
We no kind.
He said, each one of us. Stands between the forgiveness God granted us and the forgiveness others require of us.
Bonnie and Yanko Bondi are chaying. Any Bonnie for Asia free and chaino. In Finfinage now.
Each one of us stands between the forgiveness God granted us and the forgiveness others requires. From us.
Bonnie and Yanko Pon Edia Chayen, any Bonnie Afro, every stress, yeah, the Becho Mono, in Finfi and Ijina.
This one is anonymous. I didn't find who wrote it, but look at what he also said.
He said,
a forgiving person, somebody whose sins have been forgiven, a forgiving person, past, is a forgiving person, present continues.
In other words,
if your sins have been forgiven, it means you have the resources also to forgive
others. There's another
author who also said this, Thomas Adams. And let me quote, he has two for us to look through. The first one is, we need not to climb into heaven to see whether our sins are forgiven. Let us look into our hearts and see if we can forgive others. If we can, we need not to doubt that God has forgiven us. Here is the next one. He who demands mercy. And shows none. Rules the bridge over which he himself must pass. You've destroyed the bridge. You can't go through it. To have forgiveness, you've ruined it.
And
this is a powerful statement. Brothers, it's important for us to take note of this. This is just the first point. And I have more. But don't worry. I will stop somewhere. So the first one is that the reason why we need to forgive is because our Heavenly Father is a forgiving God. And we become like Him when we also forgive.
It
is therefore imperative, important, crucial for us to practice forgiveness because God has forgiven us. Number two, forgiveness makes us more Christ-like.
It
makes us more Christ-like. If you have read the life of Jesus, his life was full of forgiveness. His refusal to retaliate. His acceptance of others who wrong him. His prayer of forgiveness for others. His eagerness to forgive. All of this set an example that we are expected to follow. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, I want you to know the context that this message is coming from. Jesus was on the cross.
Christo, na owo asenua no so.
So it wasn't a soft life.
Na enye ade a
it wasn't a comfortable life.
Na enye ade a eya ho
kra. He was on the cross.
Na
was
asenua no so.
And the cross is a symbol of suffering.
Ana asenua no de ejina ho ma amani hunu.
And I remember some time ago Dr. Chumasi took us through a wonderful lesson of how the judgment of Jesus was like, and they violated almost every Jewish law, legally speaking. They
violated it.
The problem is, we learn so much, we forget so much. So I don't even know how many of us remember that series of lessons he gave us. But Jesus is on the cross. And you know what the cross stands for. Martin Linger says something in his book. When you talk about the cross, the moment they talk about the cross, they use it to threaten people. Everybody was afraid of the cross. So when somebody is fooling around, they can easily say, the cross, and he stops.
He said, so be Sebi Odin Kwasadia, and I said,
because they know what the cross stands for.
So
Jesus hung on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know the situation you find yourself. I don't know what you think your spouse, either your husband or wife, is doing to you. I don't know. But I don't think you can compare that to the suffering on the cross. Yet, Jesus had the courage to say, Father, forgive them. You remember I said something to you some time ago. There's a book, you can find it on the net. It is called Jesus the Impossible Mentor. Everybody wants to be like Jesus. But everybody see him having a high standard we cannot accomplish. That is what informed the author to write that book, Jesus the Impossible Mentor. We have to follow him. Unfortunately, our selfish desire prevents us from following that example. When we suffer wrongfully, it becomes very easy to rationalize and justify a counter attack or retaliate. Are you planning to attack your spouse after service? Because some of us can say, you wait, let's close from church. And when we come home, you will get to know the type of person that is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Jesus suffers. But he entrusted himself to the one who judged righteously, according to 1 Peter chapter
2.
Let me close with this point. And I will continue the rest on Wednesday. There are more to come. And I will plead with you that please make yourself available on Wednesday. This is just something I have to say. It appears to me that when we meet here in person, we have few people sitting here to listen. The assumption is that majority of you are joining us on Zoom. And so sometimes we even greet Zoom people. Because it is in the comfort of your home. Even at your workplace, you can join us. But I am afraid to say that majority of us are hiding behind the Zoom concepts. We are hiding behind the Zoom concept.
yeye zoom ati yeye yeye maha yenzo yeni zoom.
Yeni zoom yenza niha, we don't know, but we assume that me joini zoom because over there nobody checks you, but God can see through zoom.
Enada ho, if the nyango po weni mama mo zoom zo, se wuni ho na sa waso baya nyango po hum.
So we are appealing to you.
Into yesterday.
If you can make it here, please. And if you say you want to join Zoom, join Zoom.
Say I want to meet my heart. Now I say Zoom, so never join here. If I try to join Zoom, no.
I am not telling you join Instagram. I say Zoom, join Zoom.
Yeah, can Instagram as a Zoom on
the church have purchased it with a lot of money. Zoom. And if we are not making good use of it, I will suggest to the elders that we collapse it.
Zoom no, ezika o yetuaka, enye free. Enti asafo no edi ezika anato license no. Enti awase enya home faso dia.
Let's be honest.
Maha, mama enjoy ni.
Let's be faithful. Let's be honest to Jesus. Let's be faithful to God.
Mama eni no kure ema eho eni nyangopon.
Don't let us deceive ourselves.
Mama enada eho.
The last but not least, the point that I want to finish and then we are gone.
The chato no.
Unforgiveness reveals a prideful and selfish attitude. It's pride and selfish. Everything is about you. Everything is about you. It's like a song. Me, 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 my, my. That's all.
And
you don't think about the other person. You just focus on yourself only. And you are looking for a pound of flesh. Yes, that is what I'm looking for. It is exactly that undeserved affection for yourself that makes you aggravate the faults of others who offend you.
It's
just some small issue. You magnify it to be bigger and begin to talk to people about it so they will sympathize with you.
It's pride and selfishness.
When we were kids, I used to have one of my sisters, and any time you just touch her a little, she will sit on the floor and cry. And the things you will do, as if, I don't know how to describe it. She just
wants
the attention of my father. And when my father comes along and he points to you, you did it, you are in trouble. And sometimes, when my dad is not coming, she will stop crying. But when he sees my father coming, she will spark. Here is a little girl who can produce tears. And that is how some of us are. We just aggravate the faults of people. But brothers, on the other hand, if you are humble and unselfish and self-denying, you will see yourself as such a lonely person that no offense against you could be considered significant.
And so say, oh, I'm a brassier. Now say, you're a fufro,
You have offended me, so what?
I am a bunny today.
You are my wife.
Where am I?
You are my husband.
Where am I?
So what is the big deal?
Into a how can say I any
stop that childish thing. Stop that crying. And be mature.
But
this one is not the men. The men don't cry like that. It's the women. They become so emotional, and sometimes when they are crying, anyway, I don't want to describe it. So, a pride, self-esteeming ego is easily angered, usually unforgiving, Because he thinks so highly of itself. And then so hateful of anyone who offends this significant person.
Alright,
I went here. Because of time. And I pray that we will all continue with it on Wednesday. Because I have about 6 lessons to finish. And I wish you would join us and finish it. So thank you so much for listening. And I pray that we will apply these things. We have mentioned just 3 points. When you forgive, you become Christ-like, you become God-like, and when you forgive, it demonstrates to us a humble spirit. So you don't aggravate people's fault. May the good Lord continue to bless us. A healthy and Christ-centered family is possible. We can have it. But the element that is so crucial is forgiveness. Because no matter who you are married to, they will offend you. They will disappoint you. Don't think that as I stand here as a sofu, I don't offend my wife. I do. She also does. By school. And
so
because we operate on the spiritual level.
If you say
not on the carnal level. May God bless you to be spiritual. That is what